Welcome to All My Children Wear Fur Coats with Peggy Hoyt. Our goal is to keep loved pets in loving homes by educating pet parents about the importance of ensuring every pet has a forever home. For more information about creating a legacy for your pet or to listen to archive shows, visit animalcaretrustusa.org or legacyforyourpet.com. Join your host, author, estate planning attorney, and animal advocate, Peggy Hoyt.
Hello, pet lovers. Welcome to All My Children Wear Fur Coats. I'm your host, Peggy Hoyt, and this show is brought to you by the law offices of Hoyt and Bryan, where we create estate plans for pets and their people. Also brought to you by Animal Care Trust USA, a national nonprofit dedicated to keeping loved pets in loving homes. We do this by educating pet parents about the importance of getting a pet trust for their loved pet. We also provide pet trustee services, and you can get more information at Act for Pets, A-C-T, the number 4 pets.org. Today, it is my pleasure to welcome to our show Dr. Rob Silver and Joni Canlett, and they are with Real Mushrooms, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about their background. So Dr. Rob Silver graduated in 1982 from Colorado State College of Veterinary Medicine. He established one of the first integrative vet clinics in the USA in Boulder, Colorado in 1993. And since then, Dr. Silver has become nationally recognized expert in veterinary, herbal, and nutraceutical medicines, medicinal mushrooms, veterinary CBD, and cannabis therapeutics. He has adjunct faculty positions at Lincoln Memorial University, College of Veterinary Medicine, and the Qi University, a college of traditional Chinese veterinary medicine. He is the author of numerous papers and books and expects to have a new book out soon, so stay tuned for that. And Dr. Silver brings to the Real Mushrooms science team 40 years of practical clinical experience treating small and large animals with diet, acupuncture, nutraceuticals, botanicals, and medicinal mushrooms. He is joined here today by Joni Canlett. She is a registered veterinary technician and a certified canine rehabilitation assistant, known as a CCRA, through the Canine Rehabilitation Institute. She just told me that she's relocated to Buckingham, Virginia, so it looks like we're going to have some neighborly opportunities when I'm up in the Virginia area. And she also has her certification in applied clinical nutrition for humans through the Life Chiropractic College. Joni is passionate about integrative medicine for both animals and humans. And for the past decade, she has worked in the supplement industry, teaching veterinarians and pet parents about their holistic options. Her experience encompasses nutrition, canine rehabilitation, Western herbal medicine, functional medicine, laser therapy, energy medicine, and her favorite modality, therapeutic mushrooms. She is always learning and loves building community through education, as do we, because we think that education is the best way to motivate people to do something new or different. And I can't wait to learn more about what the two of you are up to. So I'm just going to let you jump in when you think it's appropriate based on the question, and you can always add to each other. But Dr. Silver, what got you interested in integrative veterinary medicine in the first place?
Well, when I graduated from vet school in 1982, I thought that I had learned everything I needed to know to do battle with all the diseases our pets get. After about 5 years in practice, I started getting frustrated with some of the cases that would come that didn't respond. These were the chronic disease cases, the diabetes and the Cushing's disease and, you know, the complicated problems that aren't necessarily that simple to solve. And so I started looking for other modalities, other ways to address these. And I started looking in different directions. I looked at diet. I looked at Western herbs. I looked at acupuncture. I learned about formulating Chinese herbal formulas, looked into ozone therapy and laser therapy. I learned into a lot of different things. And this was early on. This was in like 1985, 87, when these things, when there really were not training programs, there really was not a lot of knowledge. Everything was looked at quite skeptically by conventional veterinarians. I had to fight a lot of pushback from my colleagues and friends, but I kept at it. And really, if anything, my work was almost like a residency in integrative medicine in Boulder, where so many of my clients were also themselves already knowledgeable about herbal and other modalities. So it was a quite a learning curve. But over the 20 years, I've been in practice nearly 40 years now. But over the 20 years that it took me to really gain expertise, I feel like I really gained quite a bit. And I have found that by blending the best of conventional medicine with the most appropriate evidence-based alternative therapies, my outcomes are better. Even something simple like changing the food from the processed dried kibble to a fresh homemade meal, not necessarily raw, even cooked, lightly cooked meals, I saw huge benefits with my patients. So it was very encouraging. And that's what kept me going because I kept getting successes, even in the face of very serious diseases, including cancer, although cancer is a tough one.
Yeah, excellent to know that. Well, and Joni, you started out in the veterinary field as well as a registered veterinary technician.
Yeah, and although I have to say, I didn't become a registered veterinary technician until I was 40. I was 40 when I went back to school. And before that, really, my path was very different than Dr. Silver. I was a bartender, not living a healthy lifestyle at all, and I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. This was back in 1996, and had the tumor removed, and they wanted to do chemo and radiation and go back in and stage me from my diaphragm to my balance, something I knew nothing about integrative medicine, but I just said no. And didn't know what I was going to do, but I wanted to try something different. And probably it was caught at very early stage. I mean, I wasn't staged, so I don't know, but I imagine that's what happened. And I started looking into what I could do instead. And so I got very interested in everything related to holistic therapies for myself. And then at the same time, my dog was diagnosed with mammary cancer. So I started doing some of the same things with my dog that I was doing to treat myself. And here I am, 19 years later, 19 years later, and I'm adding that up wrong, but anyway, I'm here a lot later, and I'm still here. Never did anything Western other than the surgery, and my dog lived to be like 18 years old. She was 9 when she was diagnosed with the mammary cancer, so that was a real wake-up call for me, and it inspired me to really change my whole lifestyle and go back to school to become an RVT specifically to do integrative medicine. So I've always been integrative, back in, since getting into the veterinary field.
Excellent. Well, so you both came at it a little bit differently, but
Yes.
ended up in the same place. And I'm
Yep.
sure that our listeners would want to know, Dr. Silver, how a veterinary appointment from an integrative standpoint might differ from what we would think of as being more traditional veterinary medicine.
Well, one of the key things about integrative medicine is that it's really just not just the use of a different kind of a product, different kind of a therapy. It's really looking at the entire lifestyle, that because that's the only way you really can get deep healing. Certainly we do use a lot of, alternative modalities, and those are very helpful, but there has to be pet parent participation. That's the most important part. It takes commitment on the part of a pet parent. It takes time, takes money, takes a lot of love and a lot of energy. But in order to do things that are either proactive and preventative, or that help to address really serious problems, we put together a program that involves changes in the diet. And usually it's not changing from one processed meal to another. It's going to a better quality food that's less processed and has more micronutrients and less has been processed out of it. In some cases, the pet parent might be preparing it themselves. Although we have such great options these days that were not available when I started out, I taught people how to do their own homemade diets from either raw or cooked food. I was one of the first practices to actually carry a, have a freezer with frozen raw diets in it. And that company, Nature's Variety, because when they heard about that, they actually came to my office and asked me to do to work for them because I was one of the few vets that had was an early adopter of their products. And I did some work for them for a while. You know, now, you know, they're widely available everywhere. So, I mean, there is a commitment. There's a lot of supplements you have to give to your animal, and you have to make sure your animal gets it. Not every animal is easy to give stuff to, you know? So it takes a village really to address, you know, convention, you know, address using integrative medicine in a really effective way for a pet. And so that's really what I think is one of the biggest hallmarks of integrative medicine is it's really, we have to be motivators of the pet parent to keep them going because it's hard work, time consuming, costly. The rewards are huge, you know? And even if the animal has a terminal disease and we can't save them from that terminal nature of it, it empowers the pet parent to do something that they can look back on later after the pet's gone and go, you know, get it right by Fido or whatever his name is. You know, it was hard work, but gosh, you know, I can look back on that and feel good inside about the loss because, you know, I was empowered to do something.
Right. Do you feel like more vets, more kind of traditional veterinarians are adding these holistic concepts to their practices?
Well, I think we're seeing two things. One, this next generation of veterinarians is very, very interested in integrative medicine. So much so that many of them get out of vet school and they don't want to practice conventional medicine. They want to practice integrative medicine. And I tell them, I say, you really need to be able to be good at conventional medicine in order to know about alternatives to the conventionals, you know? So I encourage them to be good at that as well. And oftentimes the problems with conventional medicine aren't that conventional medicine is bad or toxic, it's just being applied wrong. They're being too aggressive. They're using doses too high. They're not letting the body take care of itself. You know, certainly with emergencies and near terminal conditions, you know, strong intervention is very important. But, you know, so it's also a change in paradigm. It's a change in mindset. It's a change in approach. And the benefits are great. And it's and really the today's pet parent is really looking for this. They're very engaged in their pet and caring for their pet. And so that's where, you know, I didn't realize that all these years I've been training to kind of, you know, help the pet parents in our current age, you know, create things better, you know, for their pets. I don't think I answered your whole question. I
I
digress.
think that was a fine answer, though. So, Joni, would you agree that sometimes our pets have better lifestyles than the pet parents?
You know, it's amazing. And I, you know, I'm guilty of that too. I mean, when I go to the store, I, you know, I'm buying the finest foods for my dog, you know, even if it means scrimping for myself. So absolutely. And I'm finding more and more pet parents. I mean, animals are, they're our family, you know. I mean, you know, my dog Scruffy is, you know, she's my beloved family member. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I hate to say she's like my daughter, you know. I mean, I would treat, you know, I would do anything for her. And so many pet parents feel the same way. And just to piggyback on what, you know, Dr. Silver said, I agree with everything he said about integrative medicine. And, you know, I think you know, the difference, integrative vets are, you know, they're trained to really get to the root cause of the issue. Whereas, you know, our lifestyle, everything's fast, fast, fast. We want immediate results. And so if there's a skin condition, you know, we just want to like, you know, there's this thought that, okay, let's just give the antibiotic or put this topical ointment on it and make it go away. But what actually is the underlying reason that that happened. That didn't just spring up out of nowhere. There's been some sort of imbalance going on with that animal that's been going on for months, even years. And animals are very adaptable. They can adapt for a very, very long time to poor diet, environmental toxins, this and that, until eventually the wheels start to come off the bus and it will manifest as a condition. And I think often in Western medicine, they see the condition, they just want to treat that condition. Whereas integrative maybe says, okay, let's find that imbalance. And it does take time. Like Dr. Silver was saying, like this condition did not happen overnight. And so it's worth taking the weeks or even months to change the diet, to, you know, maybe add some herbal therapies, some supplementation. And often you might have to try different things until you find the right combination. But then that when that pet is in balance, you're going to save so much money on veterinary bills. You know, hopefully by being proactive, you're going to not get, you know, not fall victim to, you know, some of these, you know, conditions or diseases. And like Dr. Silver said, if they do have the disease, if they do, for instance, if an animal gets cancer, we can support that quality of life so much better with holistic so that they enjoy their final time. And maybe it's extended.
Absolutely. So I think that those are all great suggestions because we do want to treat the root causes and not just the symptoms. And I think where that brings us in our conversation right now is there's been a lot of interest in CBD for pets, but this topic that we're looking at today, the idea of integrating mushrooms into a therapy, let's talk about that. So I don't know any veterinarians right now that use mushrooms. You guys are the first people I've met that ever talked about mushrooms in pets.
Well, the medicinal use of mushrooms in pets is really a pretty new concept. It's a fairly old concept for people. It's been in, you know, in certain cultures, it's been around for millennia, because they've gone to mushrooms and found they've had benefits in terms of creating health or maintaining health. But with the, I think the public's interest in CBD is what has opened the door to other types of panaceas, because CBD is a very robust molecule from a plant, from a natural source that has a wide variety of very good uses, and it's quite safe, you know? And then we have this issue with the immune system and COVID, and everybody's looking for that magic bullet that's going to help them. So they had CBD, which seemed pretty magical for their pets and for themselves. And then we get the pandemic and everybody's looking around for something. And that's where we start seeing that there's a huge immune modulating benefit to the use of mushrooms. And so what we're also seeing in our culture these days, and our culture's gotten kind of wacky, I will say, if you read the news, maybe you're better off not. But what has really gotten in our culture today is that people are really bonded with their pets like members of the family. We call this the humanization of pets. When you talk about marketers to, you know, when you put marketing to the animal supplement segment, they talk about the humanization of that pets are really their four-legged children. And they want to convey the same benefits to their four-legged children that their own children get, because they've been giving gummies to their children that have vitamin C in it, and that they've been taking themselves, maybe for their macular degeneration, because they've been taking, you know, ocular antioxidants for that. So, you know, it's normal. It's really natural that they would want to start to give this to their pets. And what is the biggest issue these days, I think, is that the industry has kind of gotten a little bit ahead of itself in terms of seeing the huge profit advantage without actually doing the research or getting the technical expertise that's needed in order to really market effective products that aren't just crap on the label, you know, and costing the client some money. And so that's something that I've been, since I've put down my stethoscope, and I've started to work in this realm. That's one of the things that I'm most interested in doing when I work with these companies, because I've worked with multiple companies, is I feel like it's my responsibility to create products that are impeccably excellent for the pet parent. They work, they're clean, and they're cost effective. And that's what I do. That's what I worked with the last company I was with for 25 years, sold their products exclusively to veterinarians. I formulated 40 products for them, and that's what I'm doing for real mushrooms. So it's cool. We're just getting started. Cool. Watch our dust. We're going to be doing some cool stuff.
Yeah, so you mentioned Real Mushrooms. I want to make sure that people know they can go to
Oh, yeah.
realmushrooms.com and find lots of information. They can read about your bio as well as Joni's is and the founder of Real Mushrooms and his son who now operates
Yes.
that organization.
Jeff Chilton and Sky.
It's a
Yes.
good story. It is.
Yeah, it is a good story and a great blog and some very cool recipes and a lot of frequently asked questions. I even found a recipe on their site that I want to check out, which is this like hot vinegar cider
Oh
thing
my,
that's made
that
with
sounds great.
hot peppers, fire cider, they call it.
Oh yeah, the fire cider. Yeah, that's Rosemary Gladstone's original recipe.
Joni, you should tell Peggy about the clubhouse because we're going to be doing mushroom recipes on that.
Oh, that's right. So I don't know if you're familiar with Clubhouse, which is an audio-only app. So we have a clubhouse called the Micro Revolution, and we're in there once a month. It's me and Dr. Silver, a medical herbalist named Lee Carroll. Sometimes Sky Chilton's in there, Mason Bressett, our resident naturopath. And we have a couple guests coming to join us. We're doing Fun Guys and Gals in the Kitchen, the summer edition. So we're actually doing a mushroom cooking show on Wednesday, August 10th at 5 p.m. Pacific time. So anyone who is on Clubhouse can find us there, and it should be a lot of fun.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So for pet parents who are listening that want to get some cool recipes and we always jokingly call my husband in our family the fun guy.
I love
So
that. Yeah. Well, we have some women, so it's going to be fun guys and gals. But Peggy, if I can just to go back to your question about that you asked about, mushrooms and pets, I think you would probably enjoy hearing Dr. Silver describe how, with pet parents and mushrooms, it's really been turkey tail that's been the gateway mushroom for people becoming interested in mushrooms for their pets in general. And I know Dr. Silver can describe better than I can the reasons behind that. So, Rob, you want to?
Yeah, that's a great segue because it really is important for us to understand how and why we might use mushrooms for
Right,
our pets. And
exactly.
then turkey tail is a brand new term for me, so you're going to have to describe that as well.
Yeah.
Well, just as with COVID, people started looking for an excellent form of immune protection, and they looked to mushrooms. When it comes to cancer, that's the other big reason people go and look for mushrooms because, it's a pretty tough journey, the cancer journey. And mushrooms have historically and scientifically been shown to help benefit the cancer patient. In some cases, we can see them go into remission for long periods of time, possibly even considered cure. I'm not trying to make medical claims here on your podcast, but historically, this is what we have been seeing. So, with pets, there was a study that was published in 2012 using an extract of this mushroom, and it's called turkey tail because it actually looks like the tail of a turkey. The varied appearances of it. I can send you a picture that you could display if you wanted to on your
Sure.
podcast when you're doing that. The samples I have here, the dried samples, don't really show the brilliance that a photograph would. So, and turkey tail has historically, over the last hundreds of years, been used by people to treat cancer effectively, both anecdotally and then also in research studies. So, and we are getting very positive feedback from pet parents about the use of turkey tail in their pets with cancer. It's not a cure-all. I'm not promising anybody that if your pet has cancer, this is going to cure it. It's very safe to use, even at higher dosages. It's not going to hurt to use, and it's not going to interfere with other medications as well. We're not seeing any kind of herb drug interferences with mushrooms, really, to speak of. So that's why the big emphasis is on turkey tail. And turkey tail also has strong antiviral properties, so it was very popular when everybody was all freaked out around COVID as well. And so because mushrooms, it's not like we're giving a drug and bingo, it works. You know, mushrooms are a lifestyle medication that needs to be given every day, and you're not going to see immediate results. And if you have enough time with your cancer patient, because sometimes they don't have a lot of time, it's a better situation. The earlier you can get in there, and prevention's even a better place to get started, because then you can up the dosage if they actually get something. Just have to keep giving it and recognize that it will take some time to get some benefits.
Yeah. So if you were recommending a daily supplement, so we have an animal that's not necessarily ill, we just want one that's going to be healthier, what kind of daily mushroom supplement would you recommend?
Yeah. Well, you'll see, and Joni, if you wanted to answer this, you're welcome.
We can fight over this answer. No, I'm just kidding. This is a relatively easy answer. So one that I can field. Our company Real Mushrooms makes a product that is a combination of five different mushrooms, including the turkey tail that Dr. Silver was just discussing. It's called Five Defenders, and it has turkey tail, reishi, shiitake, maitake, and chaga mushroom in it. And all of these mushrooms are very supportive to the immune system. They all have anti-inflammatory qualities. Many of them have antiviral qualities. Some of them can support heart health. Others are supportive for kidneys or liver. And so what I love about this combination product is that it covers all the bases. And so it's a great proactive mushroom supplement to give just, and it's very safe to give daily to just make sure that, depending on whatever's going on with that pet, and we make a human version of it too. It's just a great product to be on daily for sure.
And then, so in terms of how you give it, do you just put it in their food, or do you have to pill pop it down their throat, or what do you do?
Yeah. So Dr. Silver's formulated the Real Mushrooms line for pets. The only difference between our pet line and our human line is that the capsule sizes are the Real Mushrooms for pets come in capsules, and they're smaller size capsules. So that, you know, smaller dogs or even cats can take the capsules. There's a number of things you can do. You can, hide the capsule like in a pill pocket or a meatball. Some animals will take, like my dog will just eat it right out of the bowl, the capsule right out of the bowl. You can also open the capsule there's a powder, it's a mushroom powder in the capsule. You can open the capsule and sprinkle it on the food. You can add that powder to like a water or bone broth to make a gravy. Am I missing anything, Dr. Silver?
No, that's pretty good. You know, mushrooms, some mushrooms are very palatable, very tasty. I think cordyceps tastes kind of like toast.
Yeah.
You know, and they say lion's mane has a little bit of a fishy,
crab,
kind of bland. Yeah. But there are a few mushrooms like reishi, for instance, which is very, very potent. They call it the mushroom of immortality, but it contains these molecules called triterpenes, which are extremely bitter. And although they are extremely bitter and can dissuade some from taking them, they're really the secret sauce when it comes to reishi.
Yeah.
So we have those in capsules, and I think that's probably going to be the preferred route. So bitter that the only way to hide the bitterness is to like put it into your espresso, which is already bitter. So that's a challenge that I'm working on right now is trying to get the ones that are less palatable to be in a format that's easy to give and palatable at the same time.
Yeah.
And the ones that aren't that difficult to take, those are already in capsule forms, and we already have two soft chew formulas out. One for relaxation that contains something called lion's mane. I don't know if you've heard of lion's mane.
I have not.
It's really the most popular mushroom in the US right now because it supports memory and it helps with anxiety and stress. Plus, it also improves immune system function. So that's something that right now those we need that stuff, you know.
Everybody's interested
It's
in
very
that.
calming and helps with memory. And so we have that in a soft chew, along with things like tryptophan and theanine and valerian for a calming experience.
And the reishi is in there
And
too.
the reishi's in there, but in a smaller amount, so it's
Yeah.
more palatable. And then we have the immune chews, which have the five defenders in them, but then we've got some other immune herbs in there, like astragalus and ashwagandha, which work synergistically with the immune support that the mushrooms provide.
Okay. Well, and I noticed like on the capsule variety that it says one capsule for every 20 to 40 pounds. What do you do for little dogs like my 5 pounder?
Well, it's really not an issue, quite
Yeah,
frankly.
okay.
These are kind of places to get started. With your 5 pounder, I would say, if it will, if for and a 5 pounder is probably not going to want to take that capsule very readily anyway.
Right.
So I would say, sprinkle half of that capsule in something tasty and in the morning, and sprinkle it in something tasty at night, and hopefully it'll be okay. And as time passes, you might decide you want a higher dosage. You can escalate those dosages 5 or 10 times very, very safely, but you get more effectiveness with a higher dosage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, good to know.
And
And
if I can just interrupt really
sure.
quickly and say, and I told Dr. Silver earlier, we have a severe thunderstorm warning in my area right now. So if I suddenly go dark, it's because it's starting to get very dark here and there's some thunder and lightning outside. So I'm
You
sure
will be forgiven,
Dr.
Tony.
Silver will
We'll meet
forge
you
on
out
without me
there.
if I suddenly disappear. So I just wanted to say that real quick.
Well, coming from Central Florida, we certainly can relate to that because
Okay.
we're in our thunderstorm season as
Yeah.
well.
You are.
So let's talk about cats a little bit. I think we think a lot about dogs and not necessarily a lot about cats. And you mentioned horses earlier as well with your collaboration with the holistic equine veterinarian. So cats can take five defenders as well.
Absolutely. The question is, will they take it?
Right. Exactly.
They say dogs come when called, but cats, they'll take a message
Yeah.
back to you.
Yeah. Put
Right.
on your hockey gear and your face mask and try to
So,
give it to your cat. No.
exactly. Cats can be a challenge, certainly to administer a capsule and maybe to accept a soft chew. But the powder can be administered to them, and we can't always, some cats like bitter,
Yeah.
it's remarkable what they like. So it's always worth a try. And so I suggest with a cat, because cats have evolved to be very careful about the food they eat, because their livers don't do as good a job of detoxifying toxins. And so they
Okay.
have to be very suspicious about the food that comes in. They sniff it, they always smell it. If you've ever feed your dog, oftentimes they don't smell the food. They swoop in, they inhale it, and they go. A cat, no matter how many times you feed it in the same place, the same food every day, it still sniffs it before it eats it, because it wants to check that it smelled the same as it did the day before, because it survived eating that smell.
Yeah.
So if you start with a tiny amount, so small they can barely smell it, and gradually increase it, and maybe add something really tasty that they just would kill for, like some tuna juice or something like that, you can start to escalate the dosage over time. Cats are special. They take a little special care and consideration to get them on board with things. But no, the mushrooms can do, I mean, cats get a number of immune-mediated
Yeah.
diseases. They would really benefit from it. And so that's also the impossible dream that I'm working on. The Holy Grail is to get something that's going to be specifically palatable for cats that
Yeah.
no cat would turn down. If
Yeah,
I
right.
get there, I'm ready for the Nobel Prize.
Yeah, that's right,
And I
exactly.
have to say, Dr. Silver's done pretty well. Our mushroom relax chew, the one that he was describing with the lion's mane reishi, what does it have? Lemon balm, passion flower. He also put a little bit of catnip in there. And when we did some of our taste testing with animals, I was actually surprised by how many cats ate the relax chew. And then some of them played with the relaxed chew before they ate it. Some of them like rubbed against the relaxed chew. So I think that catnip in there was a brilliant addition.
Well, and catnip's a calmative. That's what
Yes,
I'm.
it's accommodative as well. Yeah.
Well, and I can see offering the powder on like maybe a little bit of butter put on my finger because the
Butter.
cats like to lick butter. Yep.
Butter. Butter's a good idea.
Yep.
Cream cheese, even a little bit of fat, you know, if you've got
Yeah.
some duck fat or some pork fat, you know, it's good.
Yeah. Who was there was a vet that was saying they the way they do it is they take some of the powder and some fat and they rub it on the cat's coat and the cats are so meticulous they'll lick it
They'll
off,
lick it
you know.
off.
So as when they groom themselves, I thought that was brilliant, and I can't believe like in 20 years in the vet industry, like
Well,
I
you
hadn't thought of
can't
that.
put it on the paw because they hate
Yeah.
having things on their paw. But just hopefully they won't shake it off first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe put it in a little virgin coconut oil
Or
or
something like
something.
that. Yeah.
Butter.
Yeah.
I think butter is a
Butter's
great.
good.
Okay, good. I'm glad I came up with a good idea there.
Yes.
What about horses and mushrooms? Can horses eat mushrooms?
They can. Right now, we're trying to work out the dosing in the horses. And my experience with horses is that they're very efficient at absorbing herbs. Oftentimes, a horse, a 1,000-pound horse, really only needs the same dosage that like a 150-pound human would get. Same with CBD. You know, you'd think they would take a really high dose of CBD, but right now I'm taking as high a dose as a horse would take, you know, about
Okay.
100 milligrams twice a day.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to figure it out, and that's taking a little more time.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that anything I do is going to be totally great. Otherwise, I
Yeah.
won't do it.
Yeah. I will say that when I was I before I was in Virginia, I was living in California, and I had vets there during the fires are so bad in Northern California. In fact, there's a really bad one right now. But I knew of some vets that were using cordyceps mushroom to support their horses who had lung issues, who were having
Okay.
trouble with the smoke inhalation. And I think they were giving maybe less than 1,000 milligrams a day, and they thought it was making a big difference. So, but
Yeah.
I yeah.
Yeah, when you compute using the lowest dosage that I have for beta glucans in mushrooms, you would give your average 1,000-pound horse about 1,500 milligrams a day of
Okay. So
cordyceps. Great for a horse.
for performance, but also, yeah, but this person had tried other things and, these poor horses were out in pasture and the smoke, we had really bad air quality days and they thought it was really helpful. So, yeah.
That's good information. Thank you for that, Joni. If we had to choose between one product, the Five Defenders, the Mushroom Relax Pet Chews, or the Mushroom Immune Pet Chews, which one should we choose?
You don't like asking impossible questions, do you?
Really?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have to say that, you know, if all animals were created the same, then that would be an easy question to answer.
Yeah. Okay. Good
Yeah.
response.
Because
Yeah.
we're dependent upon the animal's acceptance. You know, a human can force it in there once or twice, but it's not going to happen on a
Yeah.
lifestyle basis.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, and this kind of embellishes what Joni said previously about the five defenders, is it's common practice in the use of medical mushrooms to use a blend that would have multiple mushrooms in it. This is because all mushrooms have similar properties, but they also have different properties. So it gives you kind of a shotgun approach. So I think that in this case, if there were one product to choose for all animals, regardless of the format that it comes in, whether it's in capsule, powder, soft chew, whatever, I'd say five defenders is the way to go.
Okay.
But
But
I agree with Dr. Silver, or I should say, and if you have an older dog that maybe has some behavior issues, anxiety, or some cognitive dysfunction, then I would consider the relaxed chews with the lion's mane and the reishi in there. But honestly, I do both. They're very different products.
okay. Excellent to know. Well, and I like that there is a people line as well. So pet
Yes.
parents who are listening, if you
Yeah.
like all the wonderful things that we're talking about with regard to mushrooms, you don't have to be left out of the
Right.
equation.
We even have mushroom hot chocolate, and it is so good. Oh my
Okay.
gosh.
Not for the pets, though.
Not for the
Yes,
pets,
just for the
no.
people. So you were talking earlier, Dr. Silver, about what we feed our pets.
Yes.
And so I'm sure you have some very good advice regarding what we should be feeding our pets and how we should be feeding our pets. And of course, I'll use myself as the guinea pig because I'm probably the aberration, but I'm trying to feed six dogs. So, gets a little expensive for me if I tried to go through the commercial type
Yeah.
companies that provide the raw or the fresh cooked foods. So if I was making my own diet, what kind of things would be in that diet?
If you were making your own diet, and let's just for the moment ignore whether it would be raw or cooked.
Okay.
I think for some people, a raw diet is something they're not ready to get involved in. They're concerned about hygiene. They may not have a kitchen that they can do that in. And I think if you lightly cook them, I think you can eliminate the foodborne pathogen issue without eliminating all the micronutrient issue that the heat could be causing. So obviously you want to have a source of protein, preferably animal protein, although that's getting to be an issue of sustainability with our planet these days. You want to have some fresh vegetables. I would recommend that they be chopped finally, that some be lightly steamed and cooked, some be administered raw. You want to have a source of calcium to make sure you're balancing the high phosphorus in the meat and the vegetables. Depending on what kind of profit, we lost Joni.
We
Depending on
did.
what kind of food, a nutrient profile you're feeding your animal, because different animals need different nutrient profiles. A young animal would have one nutrient profile, an old animal would have another, an animal with cancer. So these nutrient profiles involve the ratio between protein, carbohydrates, and then and fats, and then vegetables are extra. The nutritionists tell us that there's no nutritional need for vegetables in a dog's diet. And they're absolutely correct because it doesn't provide macronutrients like protein or carbohydrates or fats. But what they don't recognize is that the vegetables contain micronutrients which support the health of the animal. So, sometimes these specialists, they're great, but they are very specific about how they look at things, So we want to have a source of calcium as well. Then we want to have good fatty acids. And I recommend using multiple fatty acids. So I like flaxseed meal a lot because if you can get it as fresh as possible, because it has a good level of omega-3 from a vegetable form of omega-3 and omega-6s. But I also think you need to add fish oil because most dogs and cats' bodies aren't going to convert those omega-3s from vegetables into the active omega-3s such as we find in fish or algae. So you want to give that, you want to give flaxseed meal plus fish oil. My own dog right now, he's on a ketogenic diet to try to get that fat lab to be a little thinner. So he's also getting a pretty high dose of medium chain triglycerides, which can help to produce that ketogenic state. Obviously, I've done a lot of work with diets. And then you want to add, and so not everyone is going to be preparing homemade meals at home, whether you've got six dogs or one dog. And so the other option is to look at a good quality kibble, one that is processed as little as possible, that has good ingredients in it and a minimal of things that aren't human grade and a minimal amount of grain. And you want to feed a generally a low carbohydrate diet in general, because carbohydrates tend to promote inflammation and have other issues as far as diabetes. Hi, Joni. Welcome back. And so I'm still talking about diets here. And so, yeah. And so then that's where we would say, let's add some mushrooms to it,
Okay.
with some hemp seed oil. Let's give them a little CBD. CBD, by the way, is about 4 to 8 times better absorbed and gets better blood levels when it's given with a little bit of fatty food. So this would be a good thing. You give it with a little bit of fatty food. That way they eat the whole dosage, and then you feed them this homemade meal, and that gives good blood levels, and they get the mushrooms in it as well. So I might be missing something, but I think that's basically shoot from the hip,
Well, I think that's very
Mm-hmm.
good advice overall, and I know that pet parents are really going to appreciate this information because I think there is a ton of information out there, and it's kind of hard to separate the wheat from the chaff, and you can't tell who's in it just for the profit motivation,
Yeah.
as as opposed to those that really are looking for the best health results that we can get for our pets, or for ourselves, for that matter.
True.
And if I can, I know I missed what Dr. Silver said. I just want to add to what he said in the end about adding about fatty foods enhancing the CBD. The fat also enhances a lot of herbs too. So it's often, for instance, Boswellia. So it's often good to give a fat with when you're giving the herbs. And I guess he might have already like touched on this, but I just want to add to the food issue, if you can't afford to feed raw or home cooked or whatever, I think it's important to feed variety. Dogs should not be eating the same thing every day, no matter what kind of food it is, because, if you ate grass-fed prime rib and organic broccoli and a lovely salad every single day, you'd be missing fish. You'd be missing certain trace minerals that you can only get from other things. And so even if you can't afford to give these very high-end foods, if you're giving variety, you might be filling in a gap that has been missed by giving this other food. And would you want to eat the same thing every day? I mean, why do we feed our dogs the same thing every day, morning and evening? Like, how boring would that be? And again, I'm doing what Dr. Silver mentioned. I'm humanizing my pet, but I mean, just for health reasons, I think it's very important to keep up to do variety, in addition to the fact that, if there's some sort of a recall or something, you haven't been giving that one food consistently. There's more of
Yeah,
an
no, that makes.
opportunity of a lower amount of whatever it is, the salmonella or whatever it was that
That makes
was
good
caused that
sense. And
recall.
I feel like my dogs are supplementing their diet every day with horse poop and horse food and grass and whatever else they can seem to get
Cat poop.
for.
We call them Snickers bars.
I try to keep them away from the cat poop. I don't mind
Or
the horse
almond
poop
raca.
as much as I mind that. There are just so many options out there for pet parents. And I know one of the things I struggled with, I tried to feed raw for a while for my animals, my dogs. But I'm a vegetarian. So I had a hard time with the raw food from that perspective because it kind of grossed me out. So I ultimately did give up on that. And so I'm always open to hearing other options. And I like the advice of give variety because you're right. We all need variety in our diets. I really want to encourage our pet parents to visit realmushrooms.com, thewellpetdispensary.com, nurseyourpet.com. Check out this group also on Clubhouse.
Yes, Microrevolution.
Okay, so there's just so many opportunities to get to know Dr. Silver and Joni Camlett better. And I cannot thank you guys enough for joining me today on All My Children Wear Fur Coats. And thank you for the good advice. And looking forward to long friendships with both of
Absolutely.
you, especially you, Joni. I hope to
Oh
come
my
see you
gosh,
in
we need to
Virginia.
get together when you, well, you've got my email. Let's share our contact information and
I don't get to Colorado too often, Dr. Silver, but when I do, I'm looking you up. So thank you so much. And if I can ever be of assistance to you, and thank you for all you do for animals. And we'll all continue to try to do our best and encourage our pet parents to not only feed their pets in a healthy way and supplement them in a healthy way, but also make sure that they have an estate plan that includes their pets so that we don't have any homeless pets if our pet parents become disabled or die. So, thank you for joining us on All My Children Wear Fur Coats. We'll see you next week. And my favorite motto, until there are none, please adopt one. And until
Love
then,
it.
happy tails.
Thank you for joining us on All My Children Wear Fur Coats with your host, Peggy Hoyt. We hope you learned something valuable for the benefit of your pet. We want to keep loved pets in loving homes by educating pet parents about the importance of ensuring every pet has a forever home. Get more information about creating a legacy for your pet at animalcaretrustusa.org or legacyforyourpet.com. Buy a copy of All My Children Wear Fur Coats, How to Leave a Legacy for Your Pet on Amazon. Join our email list or make a donation. Pet professionals and advisors are invited to join our trusted advisor network. Until next time, happy tails!